You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Emily Guerra. And she shares a story that really, in essence, is about career change, if I had to put it into a category. But this story is so much more than that, partly because of when this story took place. This is a lockdown pandemic story. You see, Emily was set to begin her post-collegiate grown-up career right when the world shut down. So we all have our own lockdown stories. This sharing will probably bring up memories of your experience, but not in a bad or scary way. If you are a person who happens to be going through a change or a transition or feeling like the circumstances in your life are out of your control for whatever reason, maybe you are feeling that the support system that's supposed to be there in your life to help you isn't, or that crazy obstacles are popping up that are in the way of preventing you from creating the life that you so desperately want for yourself. I think that in any of those cases, you are really going to enjoy this interview. So let's get to it, shall we? Yes. Yes, we shall. Emily Guerra, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so ready for a fun chat. Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yay! I start all my conversations with the exact same question. And that is, what part of the world do you call home?
Los Angeles, California. I've been born and raised here. One of the very few like non-transplant people here in Los Angeles.
You are an Angelina. So one of my favorite cities has a lot, very similar vibe in many ways, very different, but very similar vibe to some of the things. I'm in Miami. So very comfortable. But people do make jokes about people going back and forth from Southern California to like South Florida and how the reaction is like on the beach and, you know, the temperature of the water. And it's all deserving. It's all deserving. I watch the videos, the little caricatures of Miami girls showing up in California like, woo, the water is cold and where is the sun? And it's spot on. It's spot on.
It really is. It can be a little jarring.
No, the water is cold. The water is cold. All right. So next question. What is your personal favorite way or a good way that you like to transition from being busy, being occupied, and then into downtime?
Yeah. So I naturally just think of like how I end my work days, right? And how I transition out of work into kind of personal mode is what I like to call it. And something that, you know, I just always do half because I have to do it, but I really started to enjoy it is cooking actually, right? Like getting into that and getting mindful with it, getting creative with it, having fun with it has just become kind of this like post-work ritual for me that really allows me to let go of the day and be present. So that's been my new thing lately.
I love that. So are you doing cooking from scratch or are you working with like a meal kit service or are you doing TikTok recipes? What's your cooking spot right now in your life?
Yeah, right. Well, I love that you said right now because you're right. It's still like going to change, isn't it? So right now I'm not doing any of the like meal boxes, although I've been wanting to, honestly. I feel like that would save time and a lot of help, to be honest with you. But I actually use this app called Tasty. It's by BuzzFeed. And it's like a bunch of fun recipes. It has a video for each recipe, which I love. So it like walks you through how to do the recipe. And like when you actually, I'm such a visual person. So seeing someone do the recipe really helps me. And then also I am just like in love with Food Network and the cooking channel and all of those like competition shows.
Yeah.
So my fiance says that that's my culinary school is the Food Network. So, hey, it works. I love it.
I am a big fan. When I was younger and sort of learning how to cook, stepping up from sandwiches to meals for my family and stuff, I was the Food Network before the holidays specifically.
Really, really helpful. This is long before TikTok videos. And also, there's a magazine, an old school magazine, which is called Cooks, which is a test kitchen. It's like a, and so they'll do, it's like, it's not very many, and, you know, but they would do like 12 different comparisons of like pans or four different ways to make cookies and these very, very kind of high touch, complicated recipes. And so I did that for a while when I was trying to get really serious about learning it. And I still use some of the things I learned from them.
There you go.
I don't subscribe for it anymore. But now I am. I love to watch the little videos on TikTok, and every once in a while I will make something and I'll share it with the kids. I'm like, this is a TikTok thing that I learned. And they're like, you know, sometimes they're good. I got one of the kids a couple of years ago, a cookbook that was like TikTok recipes, but in a book. And
nice.
I didn't know whether or not it was going to be a hit or miss as a present because like they could have looked at it and been like, lame mom, totally lame, but it was a hit. They're like, no, this is really handy because then it's right in front of us. We don't have to go through looking.
You don't
at
have to go searching for it. Totally. That's honestly, I have so many recipes saved, but because I have to like go search for it in my favorites or wherever I have it, I'm just like, eh, the app is easier. So then like I go to my tasty app and like, you know what I mean? So that hurdle is there for me.
No, I think that's fantastic. Absolutely. So the topic of the day is not actually how to keep track and organize recipes on your phone, although maybe it should be. We're going to talk about a shift you made actually during lockdown, a career shift. Everybody has a lockdown story and everybody is different. Yours is related to a career change that you made. Tell us what your profession, your career was before lockdown and the pandemic.
Yeah. So prior to COVID, I was a wedding and event planner. So I would spend honestly all of my work days, most of my work nights, and most of my weekends truly either planning events, being at events, planning weddings, dealing with clients, the whole shebang, right? So when lockdown happened, weddings stopped, events stopped, and therefore my career stopped literally overnight.
Which is such a crazy thing. And it's one of the industries that was so clearly immediately affected and took a long time to recover. And so I think everybody is very familiar with at least that side of it. Was this, when you were event planning, were you event planning in your own business or you were working for as a part of a team for somebody else?
I was working as a part of a team for somebody else. I was actually part of two separate teams.
So very, very good. And how did you get into, if we rewind the clock, how did you get into event planning? Is it something that you knew from a early day that you always wanted to do, or how did that happen?
Yeah, honestly, it was something that I feel like probably began when I was a little kid and I would be watching TLC Say Yes to the Dress. And I was like obsessed with that as a little kid. I recently got engaged and I started rewatching it and I'm like, oh my God, I love this. But I feel like that kind of got the curiosity going, right? So then throughout high school, throughout college, and being so fortunate to be in LA where there are endless amount of events, endless amount of opportunities, endless amount of different kinds of event companies, I just naturally started interning and I was really just gravitated towards, I started with like first corporate events. And then I realized I love being a little bit more creative and tending to an individual. And so that's when I kind of transitioned into more personal events like birthday parties and fun celebrations and weddings.
I love that. And so what were the things that you loved about event planning? You loved the details and the creativity. What else?
Definitely the details. I'm a very detail-oriented person, and I am also actually super ADHD. And so normally those two things like don't go together. However, I feel like having been in therapy all of my life, I also learned through therapy that organization was actually kind of like my ADHD medication, right? Yeah. And so I really became very almost like addicted to trying to stay organized. And given event planning, wedding, like if you're not organized, you're kind of screwed. So you have to be organized in that industry. So I loved that. I loved creating workflows. I loved having templates. I love knowing exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And with every event planner, there was always a system, always a structure. And so I really used that in my personal life, in my schooling, and everything else too, right? It taught me a lot. So that was one angle that I absolutely loved. And then the other angle of it that really got me excited every single day was the client and delivering and creating something out of nothing that really tended to the client's dream, right? Especially in terms of wedding. We all have an image of what we want, and it's up to the event planner to bring that image to life, right? And to make it feel easy to do. And that to me was such a magical, beautiful part of event planning. And like every time I went to events, seeing the bright eyes and the smiles and the thank yous and just like the tears in the eyes sometimes, like that made it all worth it. So I loved that part.
So it's super interesting that you talked about the ADHD component and complicated systems. I'm not an ADHD expert, but in my lived experience and just the people I've known, I know so many people who have an ADHD diagnosis of one form or another, who excel at creating and organize very complex systems. And so I have no idea what the connection is, but it's so interesting how they're like, that's fine. Here's my 234 part process and four, you know, color coded spreadsheet, you know? And so I have no background for that, but I think that somebody else out there probably does know more about that. Probably. And they can reach out and message me and say, hey, and this is the connection. And this is why, why you've noticed that. Because here's why some people, it works like that. I think it's interesting. And I know there are some people who will push back on some of the stereotypes about the diagnosis and actually refer to it as a superpower in some instances.
Totally. Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Right. Yeah. And that's so funny that you bring that up, because whenever I say that, like, oh, my organization and my systems, they really are my ADHD medication. And present day, I no longer take ADHD medication because I really do use my productivity and my systems and everything that I study and practice as my medication. Right. And when I tell people that, they're always like, how? What? Right. That doesn't make sense. Like,
tell me more.
That? Yeah, truly. That's always the reaction.
That is really interesting. All right. Off topic a little tiny bit, but we'll get back on to, so you're in this space, you're working for two different event planners. So this was lockdown. Where were you in your life? Were you a student there? Had you graduated? What was going on else in your life at this time?
Yes, I was about to graduate. So I was in my senior year of college, and I had been working at these two event planning companies throughout the second semester of my senior year. And I actually interned with them prior. So we already had that relationship going. And I had like confirmed that they would be my postgraduate career and positions, right? So I was like on that trajectory. Exactly. Yeah. And then considering where COVID began, or when COVID began during the semester, it was right before I graduated, like truly a couple of weeks before I graduated.
So yeah, so COVID was like end of March, Valentine's Day, end of February, March was when I think the shutdown began. And so you were going to graduate in the spring of 2020.
Yep. Exactly. Right.
So that is a massive, massive change. This is not the graduation present that anybody wants. What an emotional roller coaster to
truly
go from having a career locked in and a job offer to global pandemic. That's an unpleasant shift. Did you study meeting planning, or what was the degree?
Communications was my degree.
Fair. Okay. So excellent. Love it. That's my degree too. So, and you know, now I do this talking all day long, every day. So you're in this and you go through this massive shift. It happens so fast. In the beginning we thought it was going to be a couple of weeks. So what was the first round of response? Like, did you just think like, oh, you know, hit pause for a second, a couple of days off?
At first, I kind of thought that, but then I also realized that I had to move out of my sorority house. I needed to pay for an apartment. And I had
You were still
planned.
Living in campus housing. Oh
I
my
was
gosh.
Truly still like in my sorority house, right? Yes. A couple weeks to figure it out. And I had plans to move in with my best friend post graduation. We were going to get an apartment, the whole shebang, but she also lost her job. And so now neither of us had an income. And we both were like, oh, without an income, we can't afford an apartment.
Yeah.
So we both ended up moving home. Unfortunately, my home, since my parents got divorced, there was no longer a home. And so I ended up moving halfway across the country and with my older brother, his wife, and their three kids. And that transition going from a Los Angeles sorority house to a Midwestern suburb with three little kids was a shock, to say the least. Not what I was expecting. And I honestly thought it was just going to be for the summer, right?
Yeah.
I was like, by the end of the summer, like I will be back in LA. I'll be back to my wedding and event planning jobs. I'll get that apartment with my friend and we'll be back on track, all good to go. That was kind of my plan and what I thought would happen.
This is a foundational like shift for you that was unexpected, because you were set up for launching on your own and being independent. You had a plan to be financially self-sufficient. And this in some ways, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, forced you to examine your support system and come up with come face to face with like some not really super fun challenges. Like we want our parents to be our emergency blanket, but you said that wasn't an option for you. You had to reach out to a sibling.
Yeah, it really was not an option for me. My mom, she had been moving around the country. Honestly, she's moved like 10 times in the last 10 years, I swear. So she was all over the place with her husband. My dad and stepmom have three little kids of their own. I have a dog. One of those kids is allergic to dogs. So that and it created a hurdle, and it was just no longer an option for me to go there. And luckily, my older brother is actually 12 years older than me. So he has his life a little bit more together, especially at that point in time. And I called him up and I was like, I don't know what to do. Where do I go? How do I do this? And he's like, you come here, come to my house. I got you. However long you need, it's okay. So honestly, like every day I think back on that and I'm like, thank God for my older brother. He really did. He was that rock that I needed when there was no other stability. And I tell him that all the time. I'm so grateful for him. I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing today if he didn't take that chance on me and like allow me to smooch off him for several months.
So, yeah. And so if it's not too personal, I'd love to know where your like emotional state was kind of in that while you were figuring it out. Like, did you reach out to your parents and ask, you know, only share like what you're comfortable sharing,
super
but,
open.
You know, did you reach out to your parents and did you feel like a little bit of like, oh my gosh, like, aren't you supposed to be the people, like, was it hard? Was there like some emotional, like, oh, where are the people who are supposed to help me kind of thing?
Definitely. So my parents got divorced when I was in middle school. And when I actually went into college my freshman year, I stayed at college housing all throughout college. I never moved home. So when I was 18, I was out of the house and never went back. And growing up, I always kind of felt like there was a tug and pull between my parents, right? Like one was always mad at the other and there was always arguments going on, and it just was never stable in that sense. So there was half an expectation that they wouldn't rise to the occasion when I needed them, because there have been several experiences in the past where that just didn't happen, where I kind of felt like I was left and I had to figure it out on my own. And my therapist was like, you shouldn't be that surprised, right? Like, this has happened before. Like, it's not that shocking that it's happening again. But I also was like, yeah, but they're my parents. Like,
but you're
come on.
Supposed
like,
to be able to.
And like, they're supposed to be the ones who are.
Yes.
Make room for me no matter what. And they're not making room for me. And that makes me feel like crap. Like, that sucks. It's not a good feeling, right? And I was really angry about it for several months. I was very resentful towards them. And I kind of kept, it's like weird looking back, right? I kind of kept almost blaming COVID on them in a weird way,
oh,
right? Because
okay.
I'm like, because like, my dad lives in Los Angeles. And so I was like, if I could just stay with my dad and stay in LA, then I'd stay near all my friends. I'd stay near my career opportunity. But because that's not happening and da 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 da, like it just turned into this whole whirlwind of anger and resentment that I really had to be very intentional about and work a lot in therapy on it, on letting that go, on realizing that they did the best with what they have. And that is all I can ever ask for. And I'm okay. It all worked out. I figured it out. It taught me a lot of lessons. And it honestly probably pushed me to be who I am today, right? So having a little grace and a little gratitude can be challenging in those moments when you feel like you've been let down. Yet that is the thing that pulls you back up at the same time.
So you did an excellent job of sharing that story. And it's clear to me as someone who's listening to it, that you really have worked through it. And you described it with, like, you know, very level-headed. The connection between expectations and resentment is such a straight line. And so it's like, you know, if you have the expectation, which I think is an unspoken societal like construct. Yeah. Parents are supposed to be there when I need them.
Yeah.
They're supposed to sacrifice, do all those things. And then they are unable or unwilling for any reason. That for me is a straight line to resentment. And then like the two things, right? First, the internal blaming that I don't know if you did, which is like, this is my fault. If I was better, they would, you know, do what I needed.
100%.
Did you? Okay.
My whole life.
And then, which is a terrible thing to do to ourselves, but we all do it. And then the next one is, okay, this external thing that has happened to me, this is the cause of all my problems and I'm going to blame them so that I don't have to face it. So you went through a lot. How long did it take you to, was it a quick thing where you felt secure and safe reaching out to your older brother, or did it take you a while and some desperation before it's like, oh my gosh, who do I call?
You know, that's a great question. I feel like the desperation honestly sank in very quickly.
I can't imagine being living in the sorority house and being like, you know, hey, everybody's got to go. Like,
yeah. That, I mean, it was truly like within a month we had to figure everything out. Right. And so I think what's so funny is when lockdown officially began, I was actually at a music festival with friends. And it was like the last music festival of the country or of the, yeah, in the country of that time. And when we got home, by the time we got home from the music festival, classes were all canceled. Everything was transition. I'd already lost both of my jobs. My friend had already lost her job. So it was within a matter of days that everything kind of fell apart, right? So that desperation really sank in very quickly. And I almost immediately kind of panicked. And I, after like immediately panicking, going to my dad, going to my mom, realizing that that wasn't going to work out, I just immediately went to my older brother. And I think that I've done that throughout a lot of my life because he's 12 years older than me. He's always like, when I was a little kid, I used to call him dad all the time by accident instead of Adam. So it's just like, that felt very natural to me. Right. And I feel very lucky that I have not just that one older brother. I have two older brothers. The other one just wasn't in a position to help me out, but he did emotionally a lot, right? Even though he couldn't like financially or actually move me in, always checking in on me, always being there for me. And so my older brothers definitely were the immediate kind of secondary to parents of who I reached out to.
That is fantastic. And kudos to you for having the strength to work through it and the courage to call them and take action on it. I think it was a very profound shift in your life at a transitional point where you're like redefining who you are anyway. Yeah. And then to have this, like, just be so close, you can taste it, and then be given an option that was not what you wanted. That's a tough adjustment. Even, you know, you can get a very, very, very best offer, but what you wanted to have was the apartment and event planning in Los Angeles. And what you got was confusion and depression and Midwestern life with family.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Not that Midwestern life with family is negative in any way, right? It's just, not going back to expectations, it was not the expectation that I had, which then built up the resentment that I was left with.
All right. So then it's not your choice to give up event planning. Although, I mean, did you, well, there was no option. There was no option because there were no events. So you could not have taken that training and experience and launched an event planning thing from the basement of your brother's house. What did you go through? So did you go through a period of like, oh, I don't have any idea what to do now?
Truly,
or was it immediately like, oh, here's the next best thing?
I had at least 3 months of sulking and kind of waiting also, right? Because if we remember, like, back to the beginning of lockdown, any day now, any week now, like, it's okay, a little bit longer and we'll be there. And it just never came. And I think it was like after month three, when I was like another like curfew or lockdown timing, what are those called? When, like,
I don't remember, but it was,
you know,
horrific.
What I mean?
It
All
was
these
just
rules,
like ridiculous. Yes.
Another rule got put in place. And I was just like, you know what? This isn't going to end anytime soon. And I haven't been making money all summer. I eventually want to move out of my brother's. I can't be living here forever. I need to do something. Like, I need to start making money. Right. And so, half a little bit of sense of like kind of desperation, but also half this sense of I need to take back control of my life. Like, this is ridiculous. I've really given all of my power away. I am placing blame on everyone but myself. And I need to take some accountability and like actually get my act together and see what I am able to do. Sure, it may not be event planning and that sucks. I get that. But what else can I do? Right. And that was kind of like that mentality that I had with, honestly, the help of my therapist. I don't
know. So
think
I was going to say,
there.
Did you get there by yourself or did somebody sort of show you the mirror and like, hello,
let me just gently adjust. Yep. And honestly, she had to show me that mirror for like at least a month for me to really process it and actually make some changes and start taking some action. Right. Because I was definitely very stuck and glued to this story of what I wanted to happen pre-COVID. And because it wasn't happening, I was wallowing and I was sitting in that, sitting in inaction and sitting in feeling stuck instead of making small, tiny incremental changes to move myself out of it. Right. And that's what my therapist helped me realize. And that's when I started really making those transitions.
So yeah, I think that that's really, really key. Now let's talk about your friend support at this. Kudos to your brother and your family and your therapist who were there supporting you and helping you realign. You had a community of similar stage within your sorority and your other classmates at school. Were you in contact with them during this like time of upheaval and watching other people manage it and do things? Like, was there comparison going on? Like, what was that like at that time? Because I was at a completely different like age group stage in my lockdown where I had like kids in, you know, K through 12 school and like, you know, like trying to do that kind of thing. So what was it like for the recently graduated young adults?
I think we were all feeling it on different levels, right? So like, I had something going on, but all of us had something going on, whether it was losing jobs or losing family members, or, you know, there was a wide range of heartbreak around my friend group. And looking back on, even in the moment, I was so appreciative for all of my friends because we really did keep in touch every single day, checking in on each other. We would send each other gifts all the time. So like they would send me like those candles that like scented like the ocean or like LA or something like that, just to give me a little sense of home. And we constantly checked in and updated each other. And I think if it wasn't for having that consistent communication with people who are going through the same thing I'm going through, I would have felt even more alone, right? And sure, we weren't around each other anymore. Although I will say most of my friends were actually still within the same, like within 20 minutes of each other. And I was really the only one that left
Far
California.
Away.
And so I definitely felt this sense of FOMO and the sense of like, oh, like they just got together for dinner. I wish I could do that, but I have to wear a mask and be here and like, so I did start to feel a sense of isolation, right? But I worked through it and eventually I came back to LA. Obviously, here I am.
Yeah.
So that gap eventually closed, right? But in that moment, I felt it a little bit. I just had to constantly like remind myself, like, I would be doing the same thing if I was there too. Like, it's not
Yeah.
against me, it's what they should be doing, right?
Sure. And it would have been very difficult. You had the support of your family in the Midwest, but that was not where you had been located before. And during lockdown, that would be a really tough time to establish a new social connection web.
Yes, truly. And I was also like in the suburbs, right? So there weren't any like fun activities or fun things around that I could go and like meet people or whatever. Not that anything was happening, right? Everything was
Well, so
closed.
yeah, but during lockdown, what there was sort of like the speakeasy socialization. Like people were socializing, they just weren't like talking about it
Talking about it.
necessarily. Like they were not
Yeah.
going to restaurants, but they might be getting together in backyards and,
Yeah.
doing whatever it is. But I have no idea how anybody would have established that in a new place where
Yeah.
there was the rules were being every day you'd wake up and it's like new rule,
Yeah.
everybody wash their groceries. Okay. And so it was a wild time for sure. So tell us, as you come out of this, event planning is not an option. What do you eventually decide to work towards?
Yeah, so after some reflection, I realized I grew up with social media, right? It was almost second nature to me. And so I ended up getting an online certification to become a social media manager. I knew a handful of entrepreneurs who were looking for help at the time. And so I reached out to them, let them know, hey, I just got certified in this. Like, here's my hourly rate. Would love to help you out for X hours a week. And let's try it out this month and see how it goes. And that worked. And within, I would say, like 2 months, I had at least five clients. And I had my first corporate client as well. And so
Okay.
that really allowed me to save up some money and be able to move back to LA 10 months after officially moving to the Midwest. So,
Wow. So really actually a very fast turnaround for such a big
yeah,
change. Like if you,
no, honestly.
yeah, like if it, 10 years from now you'll look back and it's not, I mean,
A
a
blip.
lot of people who graduate may take them, 6 to 12 months to actually get a job. And
Yeah.
so, and you really, and so you shifted. It's interesting. You reflected that you were very much in sort of a stuck victim space, which everybody has their moments. Like, so no
Totally.
judgment ever for me, for anybody who's doing that. But you didn't go and get another job. You really took the bull by the horns and you were like, I am going into business for myself.
Which was, I think, a little bit out of being naive and not realizing exactly what it was I was signing up for, to be perfectly honest with you, right? My dad is an entrepreneur. One of my older brothers is an entrepreneur. My sister-in-law is an entrepreneur. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs in my family.
Okay.
And that's, I think, why it kind of felt like an obvious step, like, oh, well, they do it. If they could do it, I can do it, right? Like, can't be that hard.
Representation.
Totally. And then I started doing it and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know how to do this. This is crazy. Would have been helpful if, like, maybe I had some sort of savings or something that allowed me to take chances, take risks, try this out, do ads, do all that kind of thing. So, in hindsight, which is always 2020, I do kind of wish I got a job, got something, and then built this freelancing business on the side, right? So that way I could build a little bit more stability in the beginning instead of feeling so stressed out that I have to get this dollar, I need to make my rent and that kind of stuff. Because that was not fun. Just really
Yes, no,
wasn't.
the pressure is a lot. Did you consider or try to get a job at this time, or did your mind immediately go to, here's this thing I can build for myself?
I was so stuck in wedding planning that I was like, I don't want a job if it's not
Okay.
wedding planning, right? Which really limited me. And I wish I did not do that. I wish I really did try and go get something else outside of freelancing, outside of wedding planning, just to see that I could to build up that stability, build up a resume. But at the same time, I love that I didn't, because it was such a risk and very ballsy. And looking back, I'm very proud of myself, very proud that I was able to follow the trajectory that I did, build up success, build up sustainability, build up stability, and then be able to do even more businesses, right? Whether it's my productivity flow business or anything else that I'm going to eventually do one day. So it really built that foundation for me that I didn't realize I was building at the time.
Okay. So then you start the social media business. That's not the business you have today.
It is not.
Okay. All right. So very, very cool. So today you have a productivity coaching business. Is that what you do? Okay.
Yep.
Productivity coaching. The question, I'm going to give you a second to talk to people about that directly. But the question I have is, when you look back on it now, first of all, I want to rewind and give you some kudos for taking the action and being brave to start your own business and doing the things like reaching out and asking people if they'd be your client, because that's something that people really do struggle with. And so you deserve praise for, you know, muscling through that and hustling and taking action instead of, you know, choosing. There's a choice there. You can choose to sit on your brother's couch in the basement and play Mario Brothers with the kids, right?
So which that's I did always, for months.
There you go. So do you see, did you see as you were going through this, was there an overlap in the skills that you had from like school and wedding planning that has carried through into the social media management and into now the productivity coaching business? Would you say that there's a through line of things that you've carried through?
100%, right? And I think the biggest thing is my organization and the way that I create workflows and how I'm so into systemizing things, which I really got from wedding planning at first, right? And then I brought that into my schoolwork, and then I now brought that into my freelancing work. And I think having that just kind of love, like nerdy love for systems and for organization and for really just trying to be the most effective and efficient that I can be, yet while also staying mindful, also staying true to myself, not burning myself out, all of the mindful and work-life balance kind of values that I really hold very dear to my heart, bringing that all together into my freelancing business. I started that business kind of thinking to myself, like, I want to prove to people that you can be very productive, have a lot of clients, get a lot done, but also still feel balanced, still have a life, still feel like you are in control of you and not your clientele being in control of you. And I just really want to show people, especially my clients, right? I was working with a lot of entrepreneurs at the time. And one very big common theme between all of them was none of them had balance. All of them, though, did have goals. They did have a vision for their business, for their future. They just never worked backwards to figure out how what they're doing right now is going to lead them to their goals. And I just naturally kind of saw that. And I was like, hey, we need to create an action plan here. We need to work backwards. And then let's create systems and workflows and automation so that way we can get there easily, right? Yeah. Like, and so I just naturally started coaching my freelance clients on how to just boost their productivity mindfully, right? And several of them came to me after a couple of months and they were like, you have helped me so much with so much more, like beyond social media. This is what you need to do. Like, you need to go start a productivity coaching business because you have changed the game for me. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me take that idea and run with it. Right. So I did. And at first I really started just focusing on helping solopreneurs, other freelancers, entrepreneurs who wanted to create a startup or lead into something bigger. And now I, of course, still coach that clientele, but I also have really now started working a lot with hybrid workers as well. So people who are just employees, maybe they don't have their own business, but they do work from home or they have that hybrid lifestyle going on right now. And how do we do that? Right? Because my whole life, I've only ever worked from home, whether you think about school or even wedding planning a lot of the time, like I would be working from home. And now my freelance career and my business, like that's all I've ever done. I've never really gone and done that corporate lifestyle in the office type of thing. And so that is how all of the things have really worked together to allow me to become this productivity coach.
All right. So that is fantastic. So we're going to begin to wrap this up, but I have two more questions to ask you. One is, after you made this first decision into the social media and now in these other businesses, have you ever thought to yourself or wished or thought to, like, have you ever missed the event business and considered going back to event planning?
Yes,
Okay.
I did. So when I initially moved back to LA, I actually got hired on by one of the top wedding planners here in Los Angeles. And it was like truly like a dream job that I would have died for in college, right? And after a couple months of doing that, and I still had my freelancing business, I was still running that full time and really kind of working at the wedding planning industry only part time. And then I realized I actually love working for myself.
Okay.
I don't love having a boss, and I love having my weekends. I love having my weeknights, right? That sense of balance, I didn't realize how much I was missing that until I really started freelancing and I had the control that I was yearning for in wedding planning, right? So in reality, COVID was honestly the break that I needed to slow down, to realize that I was totally burnt out, and to realize that there are other options for me, right? I just never considered them. So going back to wedding planning, realizing all of this, I was like very confident in making the decision that no, I want to work for myself. Freelancing is my trajectory right now. You know, who knows? In like 20 years, maybe I will go back to it, right? Like I have to plan my own wedding now. So
I
there
was
we go.
thinking about that. I was thinking the other thing is, which may not actually be a question, but I'll just throw this. It's come up in a conversation earlier that I had today, which is life now with work from home and hybrid working has really rewritten so many things and created a vacuum of sort of experts. So when I think about all of the sort of work-life balance and family balance and domestic workload advice that was sort of the bulk of how people were teaching each other how to do things before lockdown, a lot of that doesn't work in the new context of we're all at home all the time. The boundary, there's no geographic, like nobody gets up and goes to work. Everybody's on top of each other all the time. I really think that there's a space for a new group of experts rising up for, I mean, I don't know that I would get advice from this from somebody who had, you know, spent all of their time in an office. So I think that is when it comes to productivity and systems now, they're totally different. So
I love that you said that because, and I tell my coaching clients that all the time, right? Like all of this advice that you've been hearing about productivity, work-life balance, the advice that's kind of old news that you've been hearing for years doesn't apply anymore. It's truly does not take into account our new lifestyle, the remote lifestyle, and the way that the brain works, right? Yeah. And I take into account both. I love learning about the brain. I love researching, listening to podcasts, reading books by neuroscientists, all the things, right? Just to really understand how can we work with ourselves, not against ourselves. And 99% of the productivity advice out there forces you to work against yourself. That's why I really don't believe in a lot of it. I take bits and pieces from stuff and I weave it all in together into this modern work from home era. That's what we all have to be doing. Nobody taught you how to do it. That's
why a coach
is helpful.
And nobody would have known how to do it. So one of the questions I asked you was transitioning from like busy to downtime. And you gave a work example, which was really good. Well, you didn't need that in 1988 because the way you transitioned from work to home was you like
got
in the train and you made the geographic adjustment and then you walked in your house and you were in a new place.
Exactly.
And that is for most people, not the way it is, not to mention all the other varieties of this, like with co-working spaces and, you know, nomadic spaces. Like this is all new. So that is it's a crazy new world. All right, so I want to give you a minute to I'm going to do the final questions in a second, but I want to give you a direct chance to tell people what you do these days and how you want people to reach out to you after they watch or listen to the episode. And then you have a special offer that I'll share with the audience.
Yeah, perfect. So I am a mindful productivity coach, founder of The Productivity Flow, which you can check out at theproductivityflow.com. I have a free community where you can get a bunch of advice, right? So definitely join that. It's on my website. And I also do one-on-one coaching. So if you are ready to honestly just figure out how to improve your schedule, improve your workload, figure out how to prioritize, figure out time management, all of the things that will enable you to be your most balanced and productive self. I'm your girl. So check it out at theproductivityflow.com.
I love that. All right. So you do have a generous offer for the audience. It's a productivity alignment session. And so it's some time with you one-on-one. The value of each sessions is $150, but the members of the audience can get it for free. There is a link in the show notes wherever you are watching or listening to the show. But the best way to get these links to redeem these is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then I email it directly to your email box. You can just click on the link. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. I want to thank you very, very much, Emily, for that generous offer. Are you ready for the final three questions?
Throw them at me. Let's do it.
All right. Very good. These are not related to the topic of the day. They're okay. Just for fun. If you had a magic wand and you could create any kind of weather for yourself, what would you pick?
I would pick LA weather about 10 years ago, where okay. It was constantly 75 and sunny, slight breeze, but just beautiful, right?
And it's what's the difference now? Is it warmer now?
It's a lot warmer now, honestly. I think global warming is really getting to us, right? I mean, California, all the wildfires is a great sign of how global warming is attacking us. But it's definitely a lot hotter. We get a lot more heat waves. We honestly get a lot more rain. I grew up in the
drought
of California, yeah. So I'm not used to the rain, but it's good for California. But yeah, that 75 and sunny is kind of not as often to come by as it used to be.
Fascinating. So yeah, so in Miami, the temperature has only risen a couple of degrees because we have but it makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
So, and it's one of those things where you can totally gaslight yourself. Like, how could this be the difference? Cause it's just a couple of degrees, but it's just so much more oppressive because we don't get a swing in the temperature. Like it's like, 88 at 3 a.m. in the sun, and it never, so we don't get that early morning or late night. Dip in the temperature. It's all day long, all the time. All right. So thinking back to your, I love that I'm asking you this question because you're so much younger than me. Thinking back to your middle school self, name a band or a musical artist that you loved at the time.
Justin Bieber. Still love
Yay.
Him. Oh, let's be honest. I had a cardboard cutout of Justin Bieber in my bedroom.
Like life size, like a big.
Life size. Like, and when I got that, it was the happiest day of my middle school self. I had a Justin Bieber blanket. I went to all the concerts and all, oh my God, obsessed.
Love it. All right. Very, very good. All right. As somebody who used to plan live events, what's something you either always do or never do when you attend somebody else's catered event?
Ooh, I love this question. I always, always go to the people who planned it and just say thank you and tell them little pieces that probably other people aren't noticing that I love, right? Because as an event planner, there are so many tiny details that go into event that often get overlooked. And if I got, like, back in the day when I was planning and somebody came up and told me about these little details that they noticed, oh, would have made my day. So I always try to do that for other event planners.
That is fantastic. That is, there's a mainstream version of that is like, you can always tell if somebody's worked as a waitress, if they stack the dishes for the server. It's like, we're ready for you. We're going to help you because we have once upon a time had your
crumbs.
Exactly. 100%. That's it. Emily Guerra, thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. I had so much fun.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village.
If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.